Well, good morning. Well, we're in part two, of course, of our defense of the faith. Part two of the contents being the Roman Catholic Church. And last week we dealt with errors one and two. And it's commencing on page 47 and concluding on page 55. And so this morning, we are going to be moving on to the third error, because we did one and two last week. Thank you very much. Because my wife will ask me, did you have any water to drink? And if I don't drink it, then I'll get into trouble. So at least I've had some water. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. So this is what we're dealing with again this morning, the largest false Christian organization. And Rome is active in practically every country of the world, and she claims almost 1 billion members. And through the ecumenical movement, Rome is heavily involved with other denominations and organizations. So before we commence error three this morning, let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can be found in thy house as we come, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, for this adult Sunday school, and Lord, again, for the service this morning's service, Father, we ask for your blessing upon that and this evening as well. And indeed, Father, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with the Lord's people. And Father, we ask Lord, seek thy blessing upon all that would take place this day. Lord, that we might give you the glory in all things. Father, I ask that you might help me this morning as I would bring this study before these people, Father, that you might be pleased to bless it and use it. Lord, draw my attention to those things that I need not say and that which I do need to say. And Father, I would ask for your help in and through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that indwells me and has sealed me to the day of redemption. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that precious promise. Lord, indeed, the blessed hope. And Father, we ask, Lord, again that you might minister to our hearts this morning, because we ask it in and through the name of your precious Son, that name that is above all names, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So error three, commencing again on page 55 of your book, The Defense of the Faith. And we see here it's all about the papacy, or the papacy. The Roman Catholic Church is headed by by the Pope. He lives in Rome, Italy, in the Vatican, which is Catholicism's headquarters. And the meaning of the term Pope is seen there is from the Latin word papa, meaning father. According to a Roman Catholic dogma, Peter was the first bishop or pope of Rome, and to him was given the authority to open and shut the kingdom of God to men. Supposedly, Jesus gave to Peter the supreme authority in the church on earth, and this authority was passed on to other bishops of Rome. These claims are supposedly based on Matthew 16, 18 to 19. And we see that verse, those verses there, and I say also unto thee, the Lord says, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the premise. They believe that Peter was the first pope. The authority of the pope is said to have the authority to establish doctrine. When he speaks officially, eth cathedra, or ex cathedra, I should say, his declarations are considered infallible. The New York Catechism says the pope takes the place of Jesus Christ on earth. By divine right, the Pope has supreme and full power in faith and morals over each and every pastor and his flock. He is the true vicar of Christ, the head of the entire church. The father and teacher of all Christians, he is the infallible ruler, the founder of dogmas, the author of and the judge of councils, the universal ruler of truth, the arbiter of the world, the supreme judge of heaven and earth, the judge of all, being judged by no one, God himself on earth. That comes from the New York Catechism, cited by Lorraine Botner on page 127 of Roman Catholicism. Quite a tall order for a sinful man. But the history of the papal church, the concept of a supreme, infallible pope grew up gradually over the centuries as the Roman Catholic Church came into existence and consolidated its power. Here we find Pope Damascus, 366 to 384 AD, was the first to call himself pope, and was also the first to appeal to Matthew 16:18 to bolster his claim of ascendancy over all churches. Then Brother Cloud cites Pope Leo the First, 440 to 461 AD, proclaimed himself Lord of the whole church, advocated exclusive universal papacy, said that the resistance to his authority was a sure way to hell, advocated the death penalty for heresy. In the Council of Chalcedon, Leo was called the successor of Peter, the rock and foundation of the church and grounded of faith. And the ground of faith, the bishops meeting at the council cried out, "Peter speaks in Leo." Absolute blasphemy. Then we have Pope Gregory the First, the Great, 590 to 604 AD. And he was the first of the proper popes. And with him begins the development of the absolute papacy. We see that in Scaife's History of the Christian Church, page 15. He was the first to use the phrase to speak ex cathedra. Lives and Times of the Roman Pontiffs, again, page 139 there. And you've got that information in your book. Ex cathedra means to speak from the throne, and is the idea that when the Pope makes a solemn pronouncement from his throne, it is infallible. Then we have Pope Theodore the First, 642 to 649 AD, and was the first pope officially called sovereign or supreme pontiff. Pontiff meaning bridge builder, comes not from the Bible, but from pagan Rome, where the emperor, as the high priest of the heathen religion, and in that sense professing to be the bridge or connecting link between his life, or this life, and the next, was called Pontifex Maximus. The title was therefore lifted from paganism and applied to the head of the Roman Catholic Church, as the high priest of the Old Testament was the mediator between God and men. So the Pope also claims to be the mediator between God and men, with power over the souls in purgatory. Then we have Pope Innocent the Third, 1198 to 1216, and from the time of the Innocent III, the popes called themselves the Vicar of Christ. Vicar of Christ means representative of Christ, and is blasphemy because only the Holy Spirit is the true Vicar of Christ on earth. Then we have Pope Boniface the Seventh, 1294 to 1303, issued the papal bull, Unum Sanctum, claiming that no one can be saved who does not submit to the Pope as the supreme head of the church, and demanded that kings and all earthly authority be subject to him. Following is an excerpt: "Furthermore, we declare, we proclaim, we define that it is absolutely necessary for salvation that every human creature be subject to the Roman pontiff." Absolute deception, absolute seduction of humanity. And yet so many people have been, as it were, taken captive by this erroneous, this horrendous religion, man-made, totally man-made. There's Pope Boniface. Sorry, I missed that one. Then we have Pope Benedict, the Lent 1334 to 1342. It was during the reign of this pope, the earliest representation of the tiara, with three crowns appeared. Before that, it had only two. He is crowned with these words, "Receive the threefold crown of the tiara, and know that thou art the father of princes and kings, the ruler of the round earth." At least they didn't recognize it. They didn't acknowledge a flat earth. And here below, the victor viceroy of Jesus Christ, to whom be honor and glory forever. Amen. And there he is there. And there's a picture of a very elaborate tiara, crown. Then we have Pope Pius the ninth, 1846 to 1878. In 1870, he declared himself to be infallible when he declares ex cathedra from the throne on the matter of faith and morals. This was confirmed by the First Vatican Council. Thus, we see that the Catholic doctrine of papal supremacy came into being gradually through the centuries. Some of the Pope's titles, which show that he is the world's greatest blasphemer, His Holiness, Holy Father, Vicar of Christ, Sovereign, Supreme Pontiff, Keeper of the Keys, Head of the Church, Prince of the Apostles, Head of the Bishops, excuse me, Head of the Bishops, Supreme Pastor, Universal Ruler of the Truth, Infallible Ruler, Father of all Christians, Supreme Teacher of the Universal Church, Father of Princes and Kings, Ruler of the Round Earth, Viceroy of Jesus Christ, Substitute for the Son of God, Successor of the Prince of the Apostles, Sovereign of the State of the Vatican City, Primate of Italy. And so here we have Pope Pius, which I've just mentioned, and of course that which you'll find on that particular page as well. What Rome teaches about the papacy today? The Vatican II Council was held in the mid-1960s and attended by 2,400 Roman Catholic bishops. The official pronouncements issued by this council changed the face of Roman Catholicism in many superficial ways. But the foundational dogmas regarding the papacy, the Mass, and other sacraments, Mary, the priesthood, etc., remain unchanged. And following are some statements from Vatican II about the papacy. The Roman pontiff, by reason of his office as Vicar of Christ, namely and as pastor of the entire church, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church, a power which he can always exercise unhindered. What Rome teaches again about the papacy today is continued, is this loyal submission of the will and intellect must be given in a special way to the authentic teaching authority of the Roman pontiff, even when he does not speak ex cathedra in such wise, indeed, that his supreme teaching authority be acknowledged with respect and sincere assent to be given to decisions made by him conformably with his manifest mind and intention. The Roman pontiff, head of the College of Bishops, enjoys this infallibility in virtue of this office. When a supreme pastor and teacher of all the faithful, he proclaims in an absolute decision a doctrine pertaining to faith or morals. For that very reason, his definitions are rightly said to be irreformable by their very nature and not by reason or the assent of the church. As a consequence, they are in no way in need of the approval of others and do not admit of appeal to any other tribunal, for in such a case the Roman pontiff does not utter a pronouncement as a private person, but rather does he expound and defend the teaching of the Catholic faith as the supreme teacher of the universal church, in whom the church's charism of infallibility is present in a singular way. And so we see in these Vatican II proclamations, the Pope of Rome retains his supreme position in this very day, or to this very day. In fact, the Vatican II Council gave to the Pope even more power and authority than many previous Catholic documents. It would be hard to imagine a more exalted position than that described above. No other man on earth makes such claims as this. Here's the Vatican. The Vatican is from the word, Latin word, Vaticanus, signifying one of the seven hills of ancient Rome on the west bank of the Tiber River. The Vatican site or state is 110 acres and has roughly 1,000 inhabitants. The area was taken away from the Pope in 1870, but it was returned by Italy's fascist dictator Benito Mussolini in 1929. The Vatican has a full civil government with its own flag, a police force, radio and television station, a publishing house, courts, postage stamps. It issues currency in the form of gold and silver with the effigy of the Pope. It has its own edition of the euro dollar. The Vatican has a very large and influential diplomatic corps, headed by a Secretary of State who holds the ecclesiastical rank of cardinal. And you'll see there on pages page 59 and 60 a list of those diplomatic corps. The Vatican probably continues to operate an espionage system. In the Vatican Papers, Nino Lo Bello claims that the Vatican has the most efficient and widespread spy network in the world. He says the name of the network is Soda Lithium by Annum. Some Catholic priests have been arrested for spying since World War II. For example, Cardinal Mindsent was arrested in Hungary in 1948. Bishop Schubert was arrested in Romania in 1951. Bishop Bozilkov was sentenced to death in Bulgaria in 1952. And during the Reagan years, there was a close relationship between the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency and the Vatican. CIA Deputy Director Vernon Walters visited the Pope seven times between 1981 and 1988. The sovereign power of the Pope extends his jurisdiction to 800 million Catholics in every country where there are Catholics. In more than 60 countries, the majority of the population is Catholic, and in half of those, more than 90% are Catholic also. The era of the papacy. Peter was not a pope. Nowhere in the New Testament do we see Peter taking the position of a pope. Peter was openly rebuked by Paul because of hypocrisy. We see that in Galatians 2, 11 to 14. Peter had a wife. Peter was poor. We see that in Acts 3, 6. James, not Peter, was the spokesman for the Jerusalem Church Council. Acts 15, 13 to 19. In Galatians chapter 2, 8 to 10, excuse me, I'm glad we got this water. It's a big glass, but it's running out. In Galatians 2, 8 to 10, Peter is named with others as the pillar of the Jerusalem church, but is not given supremacy. Peter was sent out by the church at Jerusalem to preach, Acts 8 and verse 14. The New Testament speaks more of Paul than of Peter. And it was Paul and John, not Peter, who wrote most of the New Testament. While Peter wrote two epistles of 166 verses, John wrote five epistles with 1,415 verses, and Paul wrote 13 epistles with 2,033 verses. If, therefore, there was a pope in the early church, it was Paul, not Peter. Peter wrote against lording it over the flock. Peter didn't wear a crown. He looked for a crown. Peter refused to accept worship. We see that in Acts 10, 25 to 26. And there we pick up that one as well. The title is for the Pope are blasphemous, as I've already said. Only God should be called Holy Father. A Holy Lord, His Holiness, Supreme Pontiff. Almost Holy Lord, etc. The Lord Jesus Christ condemned this type of thing in the Pharisees. The vicar of Christ is the Holy Spirit, not the Pope. Nowhere in the New Testament do we find the blasphemous Catholic idea that a mere man would become the vicar or representative of Christ during his absence in heaven. Instead, we read that the Holy Spirit would come to be Christ's representative. And of course, a number of scriptures there to draw attention to that. Regarding Matthew 16, 16 to 20, the Romans' interpretation is not true and is evident from the following considerations. The rock is Christ, not Peter. There are two Greek words used in verse 18, thou art Peter, meaning Petrus. Petrus is a little rock, literally, and upon this rock, Petra, a solid rock mass or foundation, I will build my church. Peter is only a little rock. Christ is the foundation stone. He is the cornerstone, isn't he? Peter himself said in this in 1 Peter 2, 6, the rock referring to foundation, security, and protection is God. Again, we see it in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 32. 30 times in the Old Testament, God is called a rock. 5 times in the New Testament, Christ is called a rock. And we see those scriptures there. Thus, in Matthew 16, Jesus is making another claim to be God. Upon this rock, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about himself. It's upon this rock he will build his church. And he continues to build it in spite of us, because we just make a mess of it. But praise the Lord, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's building his church. It's his church. The church is built not upon the person of Peter, upon the testimony of Peter in Matthew 16 and verse 16. Peter testified, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this testimony is the focus of Matthew 16, 16 through to 20. The Roman Catholic interpretation in Matthew 16, 18 and 19 is contrary to the pattern of the early churches as witnessed by the book of Acts and the epistles. Paul simply was not a pope. The Latin writing on the fish-shaped hat worn by the Pope says vicars, felini, dia, and means substitute for the Son of God. You know, the local priest in the church is called the Alto Christus. I think I'm